All right, let's turn to Deuteronomy, please. Getting towards the end of that book. We're in chapter 32, picking up in verse 6. Actually, the Song of Moses, this is called. And we might come up with an alternate title as we're going through it. But we began the song last week, the first five verses we brought forward, and more of an announcement kind of in that way. Moses saying, hey, I have something to speak in verse 1. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. So he had the earthophone, instead of the microphone. He was speaking in the whole earth. And how true is that? Because it's still happening today. His voice is still going out in a different language even. In English this morning, speaking of the song. And that's exactly what needed to happen. The word of God needs to go out and be heard. Amen. So verse 6. Do you thus repay the Lord or requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Now this is coming on the heels of Moses ascribing greatness to the Lord and then talking about him being our rock, his work being perfect, his ways are just in verse 4, and then comparing the opposite, the people that who have rebelled against them. Now in verse 6, kind of continuing from that thought, do you repay the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is this not thy Father that has bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? So the question coming in this song, Moses singing, you can imagine a 120-year-old singing you a song. This would be happening right now. Is this how you repay God in the rebellion and turning the backs against God? Is this what you give in return? And don't get the idea that God needs to be repaid or even that we could even do that at all. But it's rather speaking of our response. How do we live in response to what God has done for us and what he has done in creating us even, giving us life? There's something that would probably bother most of us anyway if we set a plate of well-prepared food. You saw a mom doing this. She set this food before a child. You know, it looks like she went through a lot of trouble to make it. You know, a nice dinner. And the child just threw it in her face and just threw the whole plate in her face. She'd be gasping. It would bother us. Gravy and all just dripping over the mom. Something bothers us about that scene, and something should bother us about this scene that Moses is talking about here. Repaying the Lord by throwing things back at him. Just throwing it, the good meal, the good things that he's given us, throwing it right back at him and chucking it in a kind of a grievous sense there. It should bother us. This song contains the words about a holy God, of course. Also, this holy God calling a wild bunch of kids, you could think of. Kind of like the picture of our house last Sunday. A lot of kids running around. There was tons of them, it seemed like. We were down playing football, and we came up, and I thought most of the people were down on the field, and I got in the house, and there was hardly room to stand. A lot of kids and a lot of good fellowship. Music was playing at the same time. The kids were bouncing around, so it was a great scene. Some were crying. Some were happy. Some were getting into trouble. Some were happy. Some needed their diaper changed. But all the while, music was playing for most of the time. Good fellowship was happening, words of praise going to God, glorifying him in the midst of all that. A neat picture to lead into this song that we're looking at today and knowing its purpose. The Bible uses the example of a child for both good and bad. The humility and simplicity of a child is required for us entering into the kingdom. You have to humble yourself as a child. Otherwise, you can't enter the kingdom. You can't enter in way up here on the scape of knowledge and wisdom and, you know, pride. It has to come through humility, being broken. All of us, the professor and the child, come into the kingdom through the same door, through Jesus Christ, recognizing that we're a sinner. It's a door of humility. Examples of children in the Bible. The immaturity of a child, however, is the other extreme, where a child is used as an example in a negative sense. Going from one thing that's exciting to the next. And that can happen in ministry, where we have to keep something going and it's all based on human emotion and excitement. And we need to be careful of that, to stay true to the Word of God and to be filled with the Holy Spirit and allow that to be what moves us. Allow that to be what motivates us to come here and meet. The winds of doctrine can sweep through and actually sweep people away, kind of like a flood. It can be seem exciting, and those immature can grab a hold of something and be swept away. Something recently, speaking of winds of doctrine, if you want an example, there was being drunk in the spirit. Is anybody familiar with that? Literally, I mean physically being drunk because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we knew some people personally that were caught up in that, and they're literally driving around drunk, and they're falling over, and they're just laughing, they're carrying on like they're absolutely plastered. That is a wind of doctrine that blew through, and unfortunately kind of grabbed a hold of some people and led them into other areas. So we need to be careful about those things that seem exciting, seem new, seem different, and not to be immature in that way and to grab a hold of that. But the love of God and His truth, the simple truth. Verses 7 through 8 continue this song of Moses. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, he will show you. Thy elders, they will tell thee. We opened up today with that verse. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Ask the elders, He says here in the song. Who are my elders? The people who are alive and older, of course, that's obvious. But also the generations are mentioned here. People that have gone before us. The people of history. The people of the Bible. We should all be able to name some of those people. As disciples of the Lord, we should all be able to name some of those people in the Scripture. Some people from our own lives and some people from our history. Some of us should be able to tell the story about Ruth in here and know why she was significant in following God and hearing the voice of God. About Joseph in hearing God and following God. About Priscilla and Paul of the New Testament. About George Whitefield of our recent history. D.L. Moody, Charles Finney, Fanny Crosby. Do you know those stories? Do you know these people? God wants us to know these people. He wants us to look upon these people's lives and be encouraged by them. In Hebrews 12:1, He talks about them as a great cloud of witnesses that surround us. All of these lives speak into our lives. Why do we need such encouragement? Because life is hard. It's very difficult. We need this great cloud of witnesses that say, Paul, you don't have to go down that path. You can take the path of God and trust in Him like I did. These witnesses speak in our lives. The writings that they've written in the Bible and the autobiographies and the stories from our own families. The Bibles that have left us speak to us. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Example I was given recently, taking a walk with Gretchen, was a little tiny trees that were just planted this year, this fall. And they were standing next, to the big parent trees, big maple trees. It's just towered over them. These little tiny trees just blowing in the wind, you know, this way, and then this way. And then the big tower is just standing firm right next to them. Just that verse came to me that we're surrounded by such strength. Such might of people that have walked the walk with God. They have trusted God. Yeah, they fell. They were clay pots just like us. But they have a testimony to give. They have something to speak into our lives. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. This song is telling us to look at these elders, to look upon these generations, look upon the history. As we look upon them, we don't look at or glorify man, of course. We see how they followed God, how they heard His voice, and how they responded in the most difficult of times and circumstances. What a great legacy to leave. Do you want to leave a mark besides a gravestone or urn on this earth? Leave that legacy, that you followed God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to follow God and to lean on Him fully. No matter what your friends say or what's going on in the world, don't be afraid. take heed to the elders and the generations of people that surround us who went through difficult times too. Very trying times. They're here to encourage us to follow after the same God they did. Hearing God. What a legacy to leave. John chapter 10, verse 27 bids us, "My sheep listen to my voice." Jesus speaking, "I know them and they follow me." Simply listening to his voice. It's not complicated. It's not about reaching some pinnacle of education, biblical education and things like this, being puffed up with knowledge. It's simply being able to hear the voice of God from the very tiny shaver, little child, to the one that's mature. It's still the same thing. It's about hearing his voice and following him. Does it ever change from that? No, it doesn't. That's a legacy to leave, and it's a great one to leave. The great commission that we're given is to go out and preach the gospel. But it's not just about people getting saved, it's about making disciples, it says. Making disciples, followers of Jesus. People that will not just wake up to a day that's filled with routine and trying to make it to Friday, then hopefully having something fun to do on the weekend or just sleeping, being comatose. For the believer, the one that's hearing his voice and following him, every day is filled with endless possibilities because you are following the creator of the universe. A trip to the store is no longer ordinary, but can be made extraordinary if we would only believe that he is with us. And he has divine appointments wherever we go. He's prepared things before us. Wake up out of the doldrums of this life, walking through it like zombies. And be aware that God has things for us to do in the ordinary. He will make it extraordinary. Have your eyes open to what God is doing all the time. Following Christ isn't just some figure of speech from some guy talking from a pulpit. It's a reality in our everyday experience. It makes everything extraordinary. The holiness of God means he is uncommon. Using God's name in vain is simply not just a swear word, but just like using him like common whatever. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a just God. He takes ordinary and makes it extraordinary. He sanctifies things. Could be anything. Your trip to the store even, or that day watching a child, thinking life is passing you by because you're stuck watching babysitting. No way, man. No way. Watch what God can do. Give over to the hands of the potter. Allow the potter to make the shape of that day. Yield to him. We're not just dropped on some alien planet having to figure out what to do. We have a rich history of people who have followed after God. Thousands of years of history recorded in the Bible of people like you and me. All of them clay. All of them clay, just like us. That history marches forward through today. People that, when given the opportunity to speak, maybe through a book or a movie or even more important, the legacy of a mom or dad leaving to their child or a grandchild. The imprint of God that they make in their life. That was the portal they were given to speak. That was their earthophone. What message are we going to leave? That life is all about budgets and bills and making ends meet? That sports and recreation are what it's all about? That education and some prestigious title and recognition from people is what it's all about? Or have we helped our kids to find meaning and purpose in bringing glory to God by just simply seeking him, hearing his voice, and following him? God is the way. He is the truth. And he is life. If loving God is what you left them, then you left them everything, man. If it's a fat bank account, houses, cars, and boats, is that all you left them? Then you left them nothing but clutter to clean up. emptiness and vanity. My mom has passed great riches onto me. She's a very rich lady. She has bestowed unto me the riches beyond anybody's wildest dreams. Man, she has given me a love for the Lord. Learn from those that are our elders, the mistakes they made and the things that they did of lasting value. The song continues in verses 9 through 11. 120-year-old singing, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye." Listen to what God describes himself as. "As an eagle stirs up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreads abroad her wings, taking them, bearing them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him." The Lord describes himself as an eagle. I think that's awesome. Let's take a look at a few of these verses here we just read. The Lord's portion is his people. The Lord's portion is his people. It used to be popular to have a t-shirt that said "property of the Washington Redskins." That was my favorite team way back when. I've since repented. Or property of some sport, college or high school, whatever it is. We like to belong, and that's part of our nature. But as far as being property, man, there's only one that we belong to that deserves that description, and that's our Creator God. Not even our parents, who have invested so much in us, are we property of. And certainly not some sports team. We are property of God. As parents, we're stewards of our children for a time, but we're really preparing them to in their walk with God. I am comforted by that we are property of God, especially when terms like apple of his eye are used here in this verse, these verses here. I'm not just a free-floating agent in space, free-floating agent of the universe, trying to meditate and find some power out there through drugs or whatever, through some type of hypnosis. I am property of the Lord, blood-bought. All of those things, all the above. A great price was paid. Not chump change, brother. A great price was paid for you and me. We're all dripping with the blood. Look at you all sitting over there. In fact, the seats are red with the blood. Well, the blood bought. Great price was paid for you. Take comfort in that. Be encouraged. Feel the love, brother, sister, this morning. The love of God, it's dripping off of you. He describes himself as an eagle fluttering over you, protecting you in verses 10 and 11. Praise God. I'm glad we have chosen that as a symbol of our country. God chose that as a representation of him being protective, the care that he has, the love that he has for us. What a great, powerful creature he created. Mark read that this morning, the first few verses of John. All things were created through him and for him. That eagle was created for God to represent him in a certain way. Powerful creature, soaring the skies, able to see the smallest of detail on the earth. That scurrying mouse from almost a mile away, riding on the currents of the wind. What an amazing creature. What an amazing creature. Amazing that these things all came from pond scum and chance. What a lie. What a lie. The devil has deceived the world and duped the world in. God has created these things to bring him glory, and they do. The stars, the earth, the eagles, and we bring glory to God by loving each other. So the legacy being brought in this song to us, the forefathers, the four mothers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, people of Israel, the forefathers. He named all of them. He renamed all of them. Abraham, if you think of, was renamed from Abram. Isaac was named by God when he was in the belly because of response to Sarah's laughter. Jacob was renamed to Israel after he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. God caring about the smallest of detail, that protective nature, fluttering over his children. The examples that these people have left, the legacy that they have left. Even think of Jacob. I mean, his name was Heel Catcher. The guy was just like, you know, he shouldn't really be in church kind of guy. But yet, you know, God's care for him, describing him as the apple of his eye, out of him the 12 tribes of Israel, of Jacob, would be born. Just amazing to me. Praise God to study these people and look at their legacy and be encouraged by it. Israel, Jacob, being started, the legacy with a great-grandfather, Abraham, and then Isaac. Praise God. Let's continue in verses 12 and 13. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and the oil out of the flinty rock. Anybody ever describes to you a situation and say, oh, this sucks? Well, there you have a Bible verse. Be able to suck honey out of rock. Yeah, well, go ahead and suck honey out of the rock then. If it's a difficult situation, get the honey out of the rock. Suck it out. It's there. God is able to bring us to that place of doing such amazing things out of a very difficult situation. I heard a preacher talking about Paul. It just vision came to my mind now. When he was in prison, he talked about there was three levels in the prison. There was, you know, the top level, then the middle, and the one that you didn't want to go down, all the way down in the dungeon. And that's where Paul was. And he was spread eagle down there because he was chained, spread eagle, and rats all around him. And that's when he decided it was a good time to worship. Honey from a rock. Would you worship in that situation? Would vinegar start coming out of your mouth? Would you start to throw the plate back at God? Or would you find honey in that rock? This is the legacy that we can look at. Paul, that big oak tree. Peter, they're around us. We feel sometimes so weak and flaying in the wind. We need to look at these examples and be encouraged. Let them speak life and strength into you. The Lord led him, and that's what we see of Jacob's life. The Lord led him. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. That's a legacy we are to leave. Is that the legacy you're going to leave today with the people in your life? Not what we did, but who we followed. Not what or when or how, but it's who. It's who we followed that matters. Dad, mom, grandpa, grandma, aunt, uncle, follow Jesus. The men's testimonies this past week. I guess our meeting was very different than the girls. Not a surprise. We watched the clip there, and then we went into our personal testimony, how we received the Lord. And some of these testimonies mentioned those legacies in our life. A grandfather was mentioned. A fourth grade teacher was mentioned. A parent was mentioned. Those people that left that legacy, that imprint on our life. The benefits of following the Lord here in these next few verses. Honey from a rock. Maybe that's a good alternate title to the Song of Moses. Honey from a rock. Honey from a rock. We try so hard in this life and often disappointed to create sweetness in situations. To have a great vacation or birthday or holiday gathering or wedding. Oh my goodness, all the things that go into a wedding. All the pressure and stress going into making that day special. Hikes. We can plan and work hard at making something special and enjoyable and find people arguing and negative and rude, things not working out in the midst of something we wanted and we intended to create to be honey. We become upset and bitter. This was supposed to be honey! As believers, we are all we have an incredible vacation that is in the works, an incredible place of honey, milk flowing. That will be truly sweet. But in this time, in this place, honey is going to come from the rock. That rock is Christ in the midst of our walking with Him, no matter what that is, in the valley of the shadow of death or laying down by still waters and green pasture. There He is. He is the true honey from the rock. Let God speak to you today. Let's hear from Him. Let's taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's taste that honey and that rock. Let's do what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Daniel, David, Ruth, Esther, Rahab, Peter, John, Mary, Martha, Priscilla, Aquila, and Paul ultimately all did. They demonstrated faith, trusting in God above their own opinion and their own fears. They overcome that with faith, trusting in God. They shifted their weight onto the Lord. Ever wait in line for a long time? You're leaning on this leg for a while, and then you shift. This gets tired. This leg starts to ache. When we're leaning on our own understanding, our own strength, that ache will come. We need to shift our weight onto the strength of God, to simply shift. The words of faith aren't complicated. They're yield. They're passive words. They're believe, yield, reckon, shift your weight. Lean on, trust. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All of these examples, all these people simply shifted their weight onto God because they tired doing life in their own strength. People wear us down. Circumstances wear us down. Shift your weight onto the rock and taste and see the goodness of God. Look what He describes here. Honey from a rock, oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, that's cows, and milk of sheep, the fat of lambs and the rams of the breed of Bashan and of goats, and with the fat of kidneys of wheat, that's the choicest of wheat. That's a very strange term, but that's what it means in the Old English. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape, the juice. Beautiful. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Milk, grain, meat, and fruit. The bounty and blessings of God. We love our dishes to pass, but not to the glory of food, but to the giver of such diverse bounty. Oh, the colors sometimes. I mean, you see that stuff laid out there and you think of what a glorious God we have. It would give us not only the beautiful things before us and the smells and olfactories, but all the taste buds just sorted out so differently that we'd be able to enjoy each one and be able to sense the textures of each. Glorify God in all of these things. He's an amazing God. We certainly can learn from the example of the people in the Bible and those around us and that have left this legacy, what it means to follow God, to lean on Him, to get this honey from the rock, to learn where this honey is in these situations, to learn how to hunker down in the Lord, to hide ourselves in the shadow of His wing, to yield to Him, fluttering over us, to His care, to allow Him to fill your heart with His presence, to lean on His words, not what your eyes are necessarily telling you in different situations, but to lean on His words. Not trusting your own emotions. Man, your emotions are going to be a roller coaster. Folks, you're going to feel like crap one day. You're going to feel like you're on 10 miles flying another time. That is your emotional roller coaster. Hold on to the steady thing through that, which is the Word of God. Learn to hold on, to hold fast to the Word of God. You'll be successful and your head will fill with pride. Learn to hold on to the Word of God. You'll be hitting the dumps and you're going to feel like committing suicide almost, that your life is worth nothing. Learn to ignore those emotions and hold on to the strength of God, His Word. We all go through this. The testimonies and people all around us are speaking to us, speaking strength into us. Lean on God. Find that honey in the rock. The blessings of God will flow. Learn from the examples of the people in the Bible. Hunker down in the Lord. You may have seen images on the news recently. It's hard not to see them. Teams dressed in weird alien full body suits, carrying around victims of the Ebola virus. And the fear and the infectious disease of that now in coming close to home. And fear building upon fear. It's a bondage. That fear will shipwreck you from doing exactly what you need to do, being effective with God and walking and listening and following Him. Don't let fear get that noose around your neck and lead you around like a dog and control your life. You'll be the same as that victim on that stretcher. No longer useful in the terms of God. Take a hold of the helmet of salvation that God has given you. Put it on. Salvation is something that we obtain from God and experience rebirth on the inside, transformation on the outside. We are equipped so we do not have to fear the things of this world or be touched by the darkness around us. Praise you, Lord. Interesting note here on the lighter side. It's amazing how things come around and come full circle. Gretchen was eating popcorn last night and was covered with coconut oil. Well, it had coconut oil on it. Well, I first noticed because it had a very bright color and it was red palm coconut. And they used to, I think they still do give that to you in the theater, but there came a point where they were like, oh, theaters are bad, theater popcorn's bad, it's got this palm kernel coconut oil on it, and it's horrible for you. And then so they started doing other things or whatever, and hydrogenated oils, and find out now they're worse. And back to just the simple fats, actually your body needs, not that you go hog wild on it all day long. But now the table has turned and you go through a health food aisle and guess what you see? The same junk they put on the theater popcorn. They're selling that marked up price because it's healthy now. Coconut oil. You're healthy. Go ahead, get some. Pay $9. Verse 14, talking about the fat of lambs, the butter, these things, the fat of kidneys of wheat, you know, that oil, that the choicest stuff, now being healthy. It's amazing that we take so long to come around to figure out what God said all along. We're such smarty pants. The blood of the grape, I mean, such healthy things here. The antioxidants that we so smartly discovered. You know, God is listing these things as blessings to us. I recall, I mean, growing up, people that on special diets, it's like, you can't eat no fat at all, man. They'd have a plate, and there'd be just this driest piece of meat that you could imagine. 0% fat. And then on the toast, they would put this floor wax on there, some type of margarine. It's just garbage. And we're so smarty pants. We knew this is blessing. No, we're killing each other. Let's just take the simple word of God here. It's a blessing. All within reason, right? Praise God. On the lighter side. with blessing, with prosperity comes warnings. And next week we're going to look at that. The warnings of becoming lazy and prideful when success comes and blessings come. What happened to our country? We're going to talk about that and what we can do about it. Amen. I'm excited to do something about it. I'm excited about us, our little town here, being an example to a whole nation, to a whole world. It is possible. It is possible. God's ready to take down Goliath anytime. Anytime his people are ready to turn and hear his voice and yield to him. Let's pray today. Father God, your word is awesome. I'm always refreshed in it. It's amazing. It is like a jump in a pool of refreshing water. How it just brings to mind the things that are important, the things that are significant in this life, and how it clears up the confusion. It's almost like being on a merry-go-round sometimes, going 100 miles an hour in this earth. But your word just stops that. It puts a stop to the confusion and the dizziness that this world is constantly churning around us. You bring sanity, Lord God. You bring saneness and peace in our hearts. We thank you for that. We thank you for the comfort of the scripture. We thank you for those big oak trees and big maple trees that tower over us, that speak strength into our life, Lord. And simply following you, hearing your voice. Help us leave that legacy. Teach us, Lord God, how to do that on an everyday basis. Not those big events all necessarily. Every day, Lord God, to leave that legacy, to make that prominent in our life. Leaving a legacy today. Leaving a legacy and an example. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would heal us, touch us, Lord. Where there's been corruption, where there's been fear entered in and we're in bondage, there's a leash around our neck. We're worried about bills, we're worried about this, we're worried about that. Set us free, Lord God, to be children of faith, simply believing and trusting in you. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.